In 2021, Talk About It Outdoors partnered with an industry-leading brand that has stamped its name on the outdoor industry. Cruiser Saddles, in itself, stands on perfection. And with every climb we make, we elevate ourselves above the rest. In addition to a support to our hunting journey, the men and women behind Cruiser believe in the same principles of life as us. Faith, family, and the blessings of being better as they go in every sit. If your desire to pursue your passions one step ahead of the rest, go ahead and get in the best. Check them out on all the socials or head over to their website at www.cruiser.com. That's CRUZR.com. And tell them to Talk About It Outdoors boys and Chasing Weekends sent you their way. The journey of life has a unique way of being able to create tried and true friendships as we go. In forming those relationships, oftentimes, good things come to follow. Talk About It Outdoors is proudly supported by Cal Hardy, the Barrelhead Land Company. Cal is the leading broker over Georgia and is happy to assist you with finding the place where you can call home. With vast knowledge and an understanding of the ever-evolving real estate market and a unique old-school approach to everything he does, he exemplifies what it means to treat others like you'd want to be treated. Don't settle for being just another number in a phone. Choose Cal Hardy for all your land, home, and commercial real estate needs and become a part of his family. We sure are blessed to have him as a part of ours. Find him on Facebook, Instagram, or give him a call at 770-296-2163. Step back to the times when a feed store was more than just that, and the people inside smiled with friendly faces and provided a place for a talk on life, as well as all your essential farm, livestock, and pet needs. Cherokee Feed and Seed, located in Ball Ground, Georgia, with an additional location in Gainesville, are the hometown supplier of all your cattle, equine, and pet needs, with the added addition of being able to keep your deer herd healthy with protein and minerals. They also carry an assortment of hunting blinds and gear, and you can rest easy knowing the people that support local ball clubs and children's sports are who your hard-earned money is going to. The people here greet you with a handshake and a smile, and Cherokee Feed and Seed give more than just a product. They give you a welcome that'll make you return time and time again. Stop in next time you're in the area and tell them you're part of the Talk About It Outdoors family. A few years back, when an overbearing and overgrown backyard became an eyesore, I looked for a solution to resolve. LRS Land Services created a stunning and complete transformation turnkey at an affordable price with their mulching services. Not limited to mulching, LRS can provide turnkey grading and clearing, maintenance, right-of-way clearing, and even development for any and all forestry needs. With an innovative outlook on what is best for your land and a completely different approach than others, LRS can transform your overgrown eyesore into a beautiful landscape of your dreams. Give them a call at 404-889-1105 or check their work out on Facebook at LRS Land Services. Logan and his team are ready to make your land brand new again. Building the foundation of your life starts at the base, and the stronger it is, the better. Talk About It Outdoors is proud of our strong partnership with United Concrete and Paving and the foundation of support they provide. Whether your new home being built needs concrete work or that driveway you're tired of beating all the bearings from your pickup needs a paving, Michael and his team can provide any residential or commercial project support you might need from the ground up. If you're tired of tripping over that unsettled patio slab or a future shop build needs a smooth start, United Concrete and Paving can get you going when you need it most. Give them a call at 404-831-3036 and make sure you tell them them TAI boys are where you heard it first. You ready, Nick?
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, Talk About It Outdoors coming to you live from the Cruiser Saddle Studio. We are on the berth, the edge, the cascading waterfall that leads us down into turkey season. We're right here on the cusp of it, and we cannot wait to bring you tonight one that we've been trying to work up for quite some time. You better pull up a chair and sit a while, because this man can talk about it. I don't know that I've ever been more proud for somebody to know who Jack Wilson was when you told me the story about Jack and Sleazy. Didn't he the one that come over and said, "Your daddy, he likes to have a good time, don't he?"
He did. He did.
Well, the gentleman joining us tonight, I can't even chit-chat. I'm so excited about this one. This guy comes to us from a long lineage of turkey hunters. And when you watch the Penhody Project, everybody wants to focus on Dave Owens and Hunter and Squirrel. And they're missing a prime example of what a man should be. Mr. Eric Sleazy Warlick from Spokane, Washington, is here tonight to tell us all about what turkey hunting means to him. And, well, it's a lie right out of the gate, and I don't want to keep him waiting. So, Sleazy, welcome to Talk About It Outdoors.
What's going on?
Are you excited to do your first podcast?
Well, ain't no big deal to me. I talk a little bit slow, so it'll probably take a while to get through it. Y'all might have to break it down in two segments.
That's all right. I tend to get a little excited. So when you're talking at half speed, I'm talking at speed and a half. So we'll even out in the long run.
All right.
Nick, buddy, you've been wanting this one for a long time. Now, I'm going to tell you, Sleazy, you might be Nick's, like, folklore YouTube hero. You have talked about him since probably back in the 100 episodes. Just like, and didn't he tell you that he wasn't going to do one until he did one with Dave on his podcast?
Man of his word. he told me the very first time I asked him, I came up to him at NWTF and asked him if I think we were actually hanging out, maybe partaking in a couple adult beverages one night. And I said, "I'd like to get you on the podcast here soon." And he said, "Well," he said, "let me tell you," he said, "maybe this ain't word for word, so you can correct me, Sleazy," but he said, "my friend is getting ready to start his podcast, and I'm going to do his first, and when I get done with his, I'll do yours." Well, 2 years went by. We were NWTF this year. I went over to my friend Sleazy. I put my arm around his shoulder. I said, "Hey, I don't think that other podcast is going to happen, do you?" He said, "I don't think so. I think it's about time for me to own up what I said, ain't it?" Here we are, boys and girls.
That's truth. Yep.
Well, in 2024, the guys that we've been able to meet is no short list by any stretch of the imagination. And for what we've been able to talk about on Talk About It Outdoors through the years, it's been a great honor for us to be able to speak to people. And for us to have the opportunity to speak with you, Sleazy, you may not consider it as big an honor as we do, but we do appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on here and, well, tell your hunting heritage when it comes to turkeys. And, man, I cannot wait to hear some of these tales you've got out of the great state of Washington.
Yeah, well, I've got some tales out of a lot of states, but we can start wherever you want.
What do you think, Nick, about us taking it all the way back to the beginning like we like to do? I mean, a lot of guys tend to tell their story from out of the gate, and yours can't be one that we skip over, Sleazy. So tell us how you got your start.
Oh, well, my daddy, we grew up as a deer hunting family, about like everybody, or he was. He dabbled in turkey hunting. Usually it was just an excuse for him to hang out with his buddies and drink beer, whatever. And, but he had a couple friends that were, pretty good turkey hunters. He told me. I didn't know the difference. I didn't care nothing about turkey hunting or whatever. And 1994, this would be 30 years, he said, "We're going to go turkey hunting." He said, "My buddy is coming up, and he's going to go with us." And I said, "I ain't hunting no stupid turkey. That's the dumbest crap I ever heard of." I said, "I'm a deer hunter." And so next morning, they got guy's name's Woody. He showed up, and they got me out of bed, made me go climbed these ridges here. Woody went out this ridge one way. We went to others. And, you know, daylight came. Turkey started gobbling. And a little while later, heard Woody's gun go off out that ridge. About the time the sun was coming up through the timber, I seen him walking back out that ridge, and that big gobbler across his shoulder, he walked out there and laid that thing down in front of me and my daddy. And when it laid there and the sun was on it, turkey hunting wasn't stupid to me anymore. I said, I'm going to do it for the rest of my life right now. And that's the way it's been happening ever since. I started killing them that year. Woody yelped the first one in for me next year, and I've killed them. This here be 30 years, and if I live till this weekend, I might get to kill another one. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, 30 years. I ain't never going to do nothing else. That's just part of me. Met a lot of good people. Just like I'm meeting you boys. Yeah, that's about it. Ain't nothing much more to say about it.
Did your dad take it up right then as well, Sleazy?
No, he never did, man. This turkey hunting, I tell a lot of people this, it's a snake that only bites certain people. Some people can do it, but it never gets the poison into them. Some people, the poison gets them. He always liked to go out with me. He'd take me, you know, before I had a driving license, all we ever hunted the National Forest, he'd take me to a gate. He'd dump me out, and he'd say, I'll be here when you come out. And he'd sit right at that gate. Some days he went with me. Most days he didn't. He liked to hear them gobble. He liked to see me kill them, and he'd kill one occasionally. It didn't matter to him if he killed one or not, but it mattered to him that I got the opportunity to go, and that's all a boy like me could ask for, you know, just a daddy that would get me out there. And he killed a handful of them over the years, but he wasn't ever serious about it. He was always just a deer hunter.
Obviously, deer hunting was a big part of y'all's life. I saw that story you posted of those Polaroid pictures on Facebook or Instagram, whatever it was. Your dad was sitting there and kind of reminded me of, me and Alex were talking about it this morning, kind of reminded me of some pictures that we've saw floating around. You know, you got your dad over there and he's holding up a deer and you're sitting there next to him as a young kid. Did you get to live a lot of those dreams out as a kid, like in hunting camp or anything like that, Sleaze?
That's the way we growed up. We'd go to I'm, you know, around here where I'm from, but he always carried me to South Carolina. That's where he loved to hunt at. And, that's where all his buddies hunted at. And then of course they all adopted me in, and every spring, you know, back then school would fall spring break and I'd get some time off or I'd just take some time off, whichever one happened to be. And, yeah, it was the same old National Forest campgrounds. You'd pull up at about, you know, a day or two before the season every year, and everybody had their spot. Wasn't no assigned seating, but everybody knowed, all right, that's what's his name. We ain't staying in his spot. He'll be here. And yeah, it was familiar faces every year. And, you know, I enjoyed seeing all of them. It didn't take me long to figure out which ones to gravitate to and which ones to gravitate away from. I just wanted to be a sponge, and the ones that I wanted to be around, I figured I could pick something up from them. Still doing it to this day, man.
What's one of your greatest memories from those camps back when you were younger? You have one that stands out?
I'd say probably the first adult gobbler I ever killed. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably, it does sort of rings a bell. I mean, it was raining, open morning. I can't remember. It's probably around 95. Yeah. we went to the end of the road, my dad and his buddy, and it was, you know, it wasn't a heavy rain, but it was spitting rain, and pulled up to that National Forest gate, and he said, all right, take off. He said, we'll be here when you get wet or you get tired. And, man, I went out through there and heard a turkey gobbling. And it was foggy, real foggy. And that's the only reason I killed the turkey. Looking at that time, I didn't have enough sense to know. But now that I've got older and looking back on it, but it was foggy. And I pretty much walked right up on the thing. And I just sat down at a big tree. And when the fog sort of cleared out, well, out there about 90 or 100 yards, there was this big gobbler, and he had 24, 25 hens with him in this river bottom. I just walked right up in his living room and, man, just yelped at the thing a few times, and he run away from all them hens and run over there to me. It's just like the turkey gods handed him to me just to pull me in a little bit more, you know. I shot him at like 12 or 13 yards. I can't remember. Walked back out to the truck, and Dad and his buddy was sitting on the tailgate, and they heard the gun go off. And when I come back out through there carrying one, it's just like they couldn't believe it, you know. But yeah, I remember that. Big old turkey, too, boy. It was a nice, big old solid pink spurs. I never forget that. About an inch and a quarter.
This was long before cell phones, I would say, right?
Oh, yeah. There wasn't no, I don't know. We may have had one of them bag phones. I don't know.
I remember them.
Sleazy, at what point in your career did you really start going out of state? Where did that click for you?
Oh, well.
When he was early on, Nick, he was leaving Washington to go to South Carolina, didn't
you? That's true.
Yeah.
That's a long drive in an old beat-up Chevrolet truck, I bet.
No Chevrolets.
Show you a Ford man like me, Nick. Oh, good man.
Toyota, buddy.
Oh, well, Toyota, okay. I get on board with that.
So, from the time I started, I went out of state. I mean, it wasn't never nothing but the neighboring state, but, you know, that was home to me. And then, I don't know, probably around the year 2000, I had met another man in that same turkey camp, and he sort of adopted me in, and he started carrying me to Pennsylvania with him every year, so I'd hunt North Carolina, South Carolina, Pennsylvania every year. I did that for a handful of years. And, had some good times. Back at that time, you know, you heard about Pennsylvania being one of the greatest states to hunt turkeys in. So I went up in there and got me a taste of that. And then, I don't know, man, the internet started coming alive, and I started reading on forums, and there's still no social network. So you're looking on forums, and man, all you're thinking about is killing a Merriam turkey or killing a Florida turkey or a Rio turkey, and you're watching all the videos, all these guys, it's a big deal, and you're like, man, I want to do that. I'm broke. I ain't got two pennies to rub together, but one of these days, maybe. And that's just dreams, man.
When did you set out on your... When did you... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. I'm done.
No, I was going to say, when was your first trip? So you got it in mind, you started going out of town, and then there had to be at some point, what year was it when you went to Florida to try to do the first Grand Slam?
Oh, man, I can't remember what year that was. It's probably been... I'd say it's been a dozen years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Probably 2012, 13, somewhere right in there. Yeah. Probably 12.
Okay. Did you take off deep South Florida or middle Florida? Or?
It's sort of central. Yeah. Sort of central. Around Okeechobee down in that area.
First thought when you got in there.
It wasn't, you know, It's just turkey hunting to me, man.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes, I was used to that. I guess the wetness. But, man, if you want that turkey bad enough, that none of that really matters to me. I mean, and none of the other people that I hunt with. I mean, you're going to find a way. You're going to steer through it. Yeah, it's different, you know. I'm a hillbilly. I like these ridges and hardwood timber, and I like climbing. So the flatness, it just made that part of it was easy. I mean, walk 5 miles up here, you're a little bit tired. You walk 5 miles down there, you ain't even thought about it yet. So I don't know.
Did you have a hard time like pinpointing those birds because it was so flat though?
I don't know. It wasn't a big difference. I've never had that big of a, I've never had a hard time adjusting to the sound of a turkey or how far, or, you know, I mean, I make mistakes. I do that here. That's just part of it. I mean, you ain't gonna be perfect every day, and anybody that says it is, they lie. It don't matter if you're in a cypress swamp down in there or if you're in a prairie in Kansas. It don't make no difference.
You weren't worried about them old Mr. No Shoulders down there, was you? Them snakes and alligators and whatnot?
Nah, none of that stuff really bothers me, man. I just leave that in the hands of the man upstairs. He's already got my day picked out. If it's because of a snake or a gator, it's already written down. I ain't worried about it. I'm just going to go with it.
That's right.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, it wasn't our philosophy down there, Nick?
It was high step. Palmetto was getting a little thick around my feet when I was walking.
And palmetto bushes, every time you walk by, would sound like a rattlesnake.
Yeah, one shake, I'm like, uh-uh. High step.
Yeah, it makes you think about it a little bit. I mean, you see one or something, you may. But, man, if you spend all your day looking for them things down there, that's all you're going to get done. Yeah,
that's true. Sleazy, back when you first got your start turkey hunting and stuff, I mean, in the 90s there, compared to today, what's the big difference for you? I mean, or what's the big thing that you do differently between then and now?
Back then, you know, when everybody starts this whole thing, you're just everything you want it. So you're going too fast, charging in too much, too loud, too often. Everything you do in pursuit is too fast, in my opinion. And I see it with a lot of younger people now that I've hunted with and hunting with. They hunt faster than me. And, you know, I'm a little guy. I got a little short legs, so I never have been no speed demon. So, but with 30 years of doing this, I've learned that you don't have to be that way. If you got a little bit of a brain, and that's about all I've got, and it only works for certain things, you know. And turkey hunting's one of them that it sort of works for. But if you use that instead of using them legs a little bit, you make things easier on yourself. And that just takes a lot of time to figure that out. So that's what I see. I mean, just the speed of the hunt.
I think that's a speed of everything, though, in the world that we live in today compared to what it was when, I mean, when we was kids, it seemed like the world moved a whole lot slower. And that's, you turn around, tomorrow's the 20th and the next day's the first of the next month. It just rolls on by. We don't pay attention to the time the way that we did
before. I know. It's just, I don't know. It seemed like it, man, when I growed up and had youngins and stuff, it just started speeding up even more. And now I'm, man, I swear it seems like I was just out here 18 years old chasing these things. And now, well, here I am 19 years old chasing these things, so.
you know, I've always, I don't know if I've ever said it on here, but you remember back in school, what's the one thing you did every day? You wrote the date at the top of a paper.
Yep.
Every day you was at school, it was the first, the second, the third, and you get to the weekend, it might be the eighth or the ninth. When's the last time you wrote the date down on top of a piece of paper?
I probably don't write it down, but I look at a calendar a lot just because of our schedule, because we're always on a schedule, you know, like everybody else. But I feel like by me looking at a calendar more often, I feel like my days go quicker. Like, my dang. Because we keep a calendar in our house, and the wife and I write dates on there, like what we got coming up. And, like, it seems like you're constantly, like, erasing those numbers, starting over. Mm-hmm. Man, it just never stops. Yeah. I mean, we're already in middle of March.
But when you was a kid, you wrote, you know, each number, 11, mm-hmm. 12, 13. You counted it slower. You had 24 hours till you was counting it and writing it again. Now you're erasing those days, and you look at it in the morning. You don't look at that thing again till the next day or two or three days later, you know. I don't know. It always stuck out in my head. What's that one thing that I always done? Wrote the date at the top page. Now, I was probably wrong a lot of times. It's like, Alex, that was last Monday. Not, oh, crap, I screwed it up again. But time sure did move a lot slower back then. Of course, we didn't have social media and everything else to watch and everything else either to keep us occupied with our time.
Yeah.
When did you get your first Facebook, Sleazy? When did you decide to jump into the Facebook world? Was it in recent history?
Well, no, I sort of boycotted all that crap for a few years. And, I can remember when the book face came to be for me. I was in Ohio with my brother and at that time his wife, and I got me a book face started, and she just picked on me and said, I thought you wasn't ever going to do that, and yada, yada, yada. Man, it's been about a dozen years also. I've been on there for a good minute.
I might make the first profile picture you ever put up on Facebook or Bookface.
Let me see it.
This looks like on September the 18th, which was a day after my birthday in 2010. That's the picture he put up. And what's he doing? Sitting in a deer stand with face paint on. So
he's got a Matthews bow too, don't he?
He's sitting there with an old solo cam of some kind, it looks like. And
hey man, I think it was a Z7 at that time. I'm still shooting a Matthews solo cam.
Look at that mean face right there, son. That is the face of a stone cold killer.
That is. Got turkey tracks on his face.
That's the face that taught Dave Owens everything he knows right there.
Daggum.
Yeah.
Deep. Sleazy, let's get back to this traveling thing. And for anybody that watches some of the stuff now, knows you're on the quest of 49, and I guess you've been on that for a while since you was hunting South Carolina as a kid. But and I'm not going to jump ahead here, but you got drawn for your last state this year. Is that correct?
Well, sort of. In a roundabout way, yeah. I mean, there's a couple options in it. One of them didn't work out, but one of them did. Anybody that gets serious about looking to do it will figure that out on their own. But yeah, I'm down to the last one.
You gonna spend as much time as it takes?
Nah, man. Same way my philosophy is on everything. If it's meant to be, it'll be.
Yeah.
You know. I ain't gonna sit around and pray to kill a turkey. I don't believe in that. Never have. You know, just hunting is. There's more important prayers to be done than me killing a turkey. So, or a deer or anything else like that. But yeah, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. He'll fall. You know.
Well, I sure hope you complete it this year.
Yeah, it's. I want to get it behind me. You know, oh man, I can remember the first time, and I've told this to people. I can remember the first time I ever heard of anybody doing it. The Super Slam. I was like, who in the hell would want to do something like that? I said that's got to be the dumbest thing. Here again, everything to do with turkey hunting, I started out thinking it was dumb, and then you know, so back to the time the internet and stuff got started, that's about the time I stumbled upon forums. You know, you're on the NWTF forum boards, and I was so hungry. Every magazine, still got every magazine that I've ever bought for turkey hunting. I got them stored. Then forums came along. You got the NWTF magazine. Then Gobbler Nation, and then Old Gobbler. And that was the first time that I ran across Cove Hunter, who is Dave. And every year they would do these end of year summaries or how their season went. And they would post these pictures, and it was Dave and Doc. And I was like, man, these guys is doing some traveling. And I was like, these people's getting to do what I want to do in life. And what do I got to do? What do I got to do? Because, you know, ain't never been no silver spoon set out for me. I've raked and scraped and built furniture. Daddy ain't never paid for none of these states for me to go to. Uh-uh. My wife and my family sacrificed every bit of it. You know, sometimes I don't let them eat supper around here if I got to buy a set of license. I mean, that's priority, you know. But, you know, life's went on, and I've had to shoot a lot of staple. I've built a lot of couches to do this, and I don't know. It makes you feel like you earned it a little bit more than some of these entitled youngins that's out here doing it now. They can hate on me all they want. I'm just speaking the truth.
Amen.
So then one day I was at the NWTF, just another regular old dude. Still am regular old dude. I ain't nobody. And I went to the calling thing, because that's where I'd go in there to, man, you know, you get to walking around that crowded joint all day. You get wore out. And I'd go in that call room to sit in that dark. But I always liked to hear the yelping, you know. You know, I liked to hear that. And I always knowed who the top dogs was. And I seen that boy walk up on that stage. I said, that's that dude off that forum I've been keeping up with. And I told my wife, I said, I'd like to meet that dude one of these days. I said, he's an interesting dude to me. Well, I'll be doggone, the next day we was out there walking around, and there he was standing over there. I told her, I said, I'm going over there to talk to him. And I'm, you know, I ain't one of these people that goes and stands in line to meet people and get an autograph. I ain't into that, but it wasn't no line to see him at that time. And I walked up to him, standing there, he's sort of behind this booth. He was at a booth with somebody, and I said, you doing all right? He said, yeah, how you doing? I said, all right. He just sort of blowed me off. And I said, I seen you on that Old Gobbler forum. I said, I liked some of the pictures and stuff you posted. He said, yeah. And, you know, he sort of blowed me off again. And he'll tell you to this day, you know, he wasn't looking for no friend when I showed up there. He just ain't been able to get rid of me. I mean, I've just sort of stuck to him. I don't know that he really likes me all that good. You know, I'm here and I ain't going though. I'm just like, you know, that's what I tell everybody, man. I'm just like that old dog that's laid on the back porch. Just old loyal dog. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be on that porch when you leave for work, and I'll be on it when you come home. So, yeah, you know, we sort of exchanged numbers after a little bit of conversation, and I actually got married the following month, which I just had an anniversary. 10 years was last Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. And for our honeymoon, I went scouting for turkeys in his home state. Didn't tell him, but that's where we went. And went and scouted some public land. And she knowed she was in for it from that moment on. I mean, what kind of woman going to put up with somebody that does stuff like that?
That must be a good one.
A good one. I was going to say a good one, yeah.
I don't know about that. But anyway, Yeah, so like the next, I didn't tell him I was coming, didn't tell him I was there. About a week later, I just shot him a message. I said, I was down your way over the weekend looking around. He said, mm-hmm. He said, where you is at? I sort of told him. He said, quit messing around. I guess he sort of felt sorry for me at that time. He said, quit messing around. Just come on down here with me. So I did. And he didn't give me nothing. He didn't tell me nothing. He said, you can stay at my place and strike out. And that's what I did, you know. And I stumbled up on a turkey the second day I was down there. And, you know, I went on my separate way. And I said, if you ever need a place to stay up my way when you come through there, just holler at me. A couple years later, he swung through, and I returned the favor, and, you know, here we are. Been, oh, man, it's been, it was 10 years, so I've been married 10 years, and that's when I met him, was right before I got married, so, yeah, it's been 10 years I've been hanging around mooching off of him.
Oh, that's a pretty incredible story.
Yeah.
I mean, to meet like that and... Y'all both hit it off. At least he didn't lead you astray like he did Hunter.
Well, the next time you talk to him, you know, the next time you talk to Dave, you can ask him, say, what'd you think about that pilgrim the first time? And get his side of the story, because he's got a pretty good story to tell on that, you know. I looked a little bit different back in them days. I'll leave that story up for him next time you have him on there. He's a popular guest. If you can get him back on there, I'm sure somebody will listen to that.
I don't know if we can get, we about have to twist their arms to get them to listen to it when he's on really sleazy. I mean, I'm really worried about the bandwidth that's going to happen. We'll talk about it outdoors when they hear that you've finally done a podcast with us. I don't know that the airwaves are ready for it or not. I'm just going to be honest with you.
They may crash your system.
Well, I'm trying to keep it as PG as possible. Y'all boys, y'all met me in person. This is tough for me, so, you know.
You've met us in
person. We might get going here in a minute.
Met us in person, too. It's kind of hard for us to do it every week, so.
Let me ask you this. So you guys kind of embarked on that, and you guys took off together and kind of started hunting here and there. And I guess like everybody, when you start turkey hunting, you only got limited days, and you hunt with people as you can. It ain't like an every weekend thing. It's not like you get a long season of deer camp. You hunt with them when you can with a short season. So you guys have your hunt. What was your first thought when you showed up and he had that video camera sticking in your face?
I can remember when he started that. So yeah, he started the project in 18, and we had hunted a few times together prior to that. So, you know, we was used to each other, and, you know, he knew how I hunted. I know Dave assembled the whole thing. You know, he handpicked, for whatever the reasons, this group. And it works, you know, we all work, but, so in 18, he started the deal, and, you know, oh, man, I was so proud for him, because I tell everybody this, you know, even though me and him's acquaintances and pals, man, I'm his biggest fan still. I want to see him do the best he can, because he's the one. I mean, everybody says they want to do what he does. No, you don't. No, you don't.
No.
I've been there and seen it. Man, he's the one that's supposed to do it. He was built for it. I wasn't. None of the other guys was. We're just there to help, you know. He's the one that's meant to do this. And so in 18, they went with it, and I was just like everybody else. I was watching the episodes, and I was like, man, yeah, man, I'm tickled, I'm proud, I'm happy, and he was still working a regular job, and that it was appealing to the regular guys, you know, everybody that's out here just trying to get a day to hunt or laying out of work or, you know, taking their vacation time to hunt a few days. And then he was that guy, and he was showing the world that it can be done. If you want something, go, you can get it. And, so then fast forward to 19, if I'm not mistaken, he was coming back through my home state again. He said, "Hey, I'm coming through. You got a few days to hunt?" And I said, "Well, I'm heading out of town to go to a couple states towards the end of the week." He said, "Well, he showed up, and we had a couple days there, and he said, "I'm gonna bring that camera." And, you know, it was a little bit different, I guess, because he's like, "Let me give you some advice." He said, "Just act like you normally do." He said, "Just forget about it being there." So, after he told me that, it was pretty much easy for me. You know, here again, he has to filter out a lot with me and everybody else. And that's just the way it is. I mean, it ain't never been a big deal. And then, you know, we had a few good days of hunting, and I left, and he hung around a few days and hunted, and then he went on his ventures. And yeah, I mean, hunting in front of that camera ain't no big deal to me. Now, when you give me the camera to start filming, that's when it comes a little bit of a deal for me. You know,
too many buttons there for you.
Well, I always tell him, I said, "Put that thing in dummy mode for me, man. Just put it in dummy mode. Don't give me none of this twisting, turning. Put that baby in auto and let me roll with it." And I do all right when it's like that. But I'm just going, you know, if I was touching it all the time and, you know, playing with it, I'd probably get pretty good at it. But I ain't. And when I'm here by myself, I ain't doing none of that. I ain't got nothing against it, but here again, that's Dave's deal. You know, that's the Penhody. I'm just a hillbilly. Don't know nothing about nothing.
Well, Sleazy, I mean, you're part of the whole team there. And what's the one guy that can bring the low moments to the highest moments in camp? You know, if y'all are hanging out around, just sitting around or whatever, and might be having a little dragging moment, maybe low, everybody's steam's down. Who's the one guy that can crack him jokes that can get it?
Well, you know, Kenny, he's the comedian now of the group, but usually he's the one that gets you to the low points also, so he's got to be like that. Uh-huh.
He drags you down and pulls you back out.
yeah, it's just a bag full of emotions with him. I mean, that's just the way it is. But now he can come up with some good stuff, but yeah, he's pure entertainment. Special guy right there.
Ain't it funny, though, going back to what you just said, and this made me think of him saying Kenny, but ain't it funny how we go through life and we say, "We're not doing that, we're not doing that," we end up doing it. You know, I can think back to, I said, I'm not going video, and here I am videoing, and I've said that about other things. Alex said he wasn't ever going to turkey hunt. Now he's turkey hunting, and he's calling on, you know, trying to go to these competitions with me and call, and Sleazy, you said you wasn't going to do it, and then I saw that story on Dave's Facebook today where I guess at one point, Kenny said that he had something to get zero turn mowers, and now he's got one. So ain't it funny how we say something and we go back and
son, I have eaten enough crow that I could have crapped a feather pillar in my life that I ain't. I'm telling you, this turkey hunting thing is everybody has beat me up because they've been seeing these posts and hearing this and hearing that. Somebody sent me a message. Said, "I followed you from day one on that podcast, and I can remember you saying, 'There ain't no way in the world I'm going to beat up with turkey hunting.'" And he said, "Now you've got it in your blood." And he said, "Next thing you know, you're going to be selling your bows, and ain't going to be going nowhere to fall." I said, "I don't know if I'm going to go that crazy. Let's not get that carried away." But it has been fun.
It's just strange how it bites some people. I ain't never been able to figure that part of it out.
I think for me, it's been, I guess I was missing out. You know, I look at it that way because you put yourself around the people that you want to be around every week. And I think week over week over week, and especially during the beginning of the year, we really didn't, I didn't have much to bring to the table. I listened to that Mark Prudhomme episode we did the other day, and I'm like, well, ain't going to be much for me to say on here, Mark. You know, y'all go ahead and talk. And I didn't. I didn't talk a lot on there, but I listened back to it, and I thought, man, how ignorant was I at that time to not realize that I might enjoy doing something else. And I don't know. Damn. I've enjoyed it so far.
I ain't gonna say ignorant. I mean, you just took a little time to get going. I mean, you know, this sport and life in general, the man that sits back and listens instead of blabbing, you know, he's got a little bit edge on people. They may not think it because he's standing over in the corner listening, but, you know, them wheels is a turning that whole time he's listening. So,
well, I'm sure
these ones out here, that's usually the one out in the middle of the crowd giving all the big mouth. I don't really pay them kind of people much attention.
Alex,
but that one over there that ain't said a whole lot, that one over there that's standing by himself and ain't saying a whole lot, you better watch him.
That's me right there over in the corner by myself. I ain't never one to say a whole lot.
I was just thinking, well, Alex's mouth must work as fast as his ears. And they just compensate for each other.
Like, I'm a quick listener as much as I am a talker. Sleazy, I want you to take us back a little bit further than this whole turkey hunting thing. Tell us a deer hunting story. You talked about deer camps and stuff. Did you ever get into any dogging, or was it just stand hunting or stuff like that?
Oh, I've done about everything. I've hunted and killed about everything you can think of in the Southeast. Yeah, I growed up still hunting, killing deer. With my daddy dragging me, put me in a tree stand, same as everybody else, I reckon. And mostly it was public land. It was always, I mean, we was poor folks. I mean, we pretty much moved every time the rent was due. And, so we hunted national forest, and I can remember when life started getting a little better. My daddy, some of his buddies, they said, we're going on a dog hunt down here on the coast. And I was like, yeah, I'd do that one time. Man, we went down there and met up with all these gangs of people. And I don't know. I was a young man. I think I'd bought my first newer truck. Maybe it was like a 2000 model Toyota. Yeah, I believe it was. And it was like five of us drove that little old extended cab Toyota 5 hours to go dog hunting. And yeah, them fools, you met up at this, smoke, you know, this little camp, and they'd have these big fire barrels out there. And then how many ever people came, that's how many packs of dogs and how many handlers. So, and what track of land they would take you to. And, I remember it was like me and my brother and my daddy and a couple other people, my buddies. And at that time, you know, we was all just full of whatever. Jaws full of red men chewing the back at 5 o'clock in the morning. And them old guys was like, where are y'all? Where are these mountain men? They called us mountain men. And they took us out that first day. They said, y'all get that. And they talked fast, you know, and I had a hard time understanding a lot of it. And they said, y'all go down there. Y'all just get down there. My daddy, he had dog hunted back in his, he was a Marine, and they used to do dog hunts on Camp Lejeune. So he knowed a little bit about it. And all he told me, he was like, hey, boy, you get down there and you find you a place in them woods that you would hunt like you hunt at home. You see a bunch of trails, that's where you need to get. So, man, we'd go down through there, and there's some trails coming through. Well, I just posted up right there. 30 minutes went by, and I heard them tailgates dropping up on them dirt roads and dogs getting out of there. And them deer started coming down through there, funneling by me, and boy, I was just laying it to them, boy. And I think that first morning we rolled back in the camp, out of five of us, we had like eight or nine deer on the back of that little old extended cab Toyota. And all them dudes was like, them old timers, they was like, who in the hell brought these mountain men? They're killing every deer we got down here. And that was what we was known from then on. They called us the mountain man. And it was like that every time we went down there. I mean, every day that they turned us loose, you know, we'd go like every year over the week of Christmas, we'd go for a couple of days. Boy, we was hurting. They had a lot of deer down there, you know. Boy, we was just stacking them things up like cordwood down there.
Oh, it's
good times.
A guy told me one time a hungry man will shoot a hell of a lot better than a full man will. He said, so don't eat breakfast this morning. He said, you'll shoot a lot better. I said, I don't make no sense to me. When I was a kid, it didn't, but now it makes a lot of sense. That boy, that he only had two shells in his pocket. He better make them count. So, oh, man.
Yeah. And, oh, we just, man, I just, yeah, deer hunted and had a good time doing it. I still enjoy deer hunting. It ain't near the same. I don't get the same. I enjoy hunting deer. When it gets time for me to kill a deer, I'm going to go kill a deer. I enjoy bow hunting. If it gets time for me to pick a rifle up, that just depends on how well my wife and kids are shooting that year, to how much I carry that rifle.
Right.
If this freezer down here is getting a little bit empty, yeah, I'm going to pick one of them rifles up and I'm going out here to kill something, you know.
What's your favorite way to eat deer meat?
Oh man, I can about any way you can cook it, but I guess if I had to pick one, I guess I'd have to say, I like that cube steak and gravy awful good.
What'd you say, Nick?
I whispered with his mouth.
What's your favorite way to eat deer meat? With my mouth.
Hey, I pretty much survive off of it. I'm all organic.
Do y'all eat much canned meat up there? Do y'all do any canning?
I don't do it. Some of my neighbors around here do a little bit for me here and there, and I love that. That's a quick pick-me-up, you know. You come in, and she's working late, and ain't nobody around. Boy, you can dump her out on there and just go to town on that. You can eat it straight out of the jar if you're desperate enough. It ain't no big deal.
A little tougher when it's out of the jar, or at least cold. It's much better when you battered up. Now, I'm sure you growed up squirrel hunting.
I used to come home and get off this school bus before I was ever, and I'd come in here and get my .22, and I'd just take off through these mountains. And Mom and Dad would ride up and down the roads about dusky dark, because ain't no telling where I'd come out at. I didn't know where I was going. I knowed I was going to come out somewhere, and I'd just be walking down the highway or something. But I went and killed me a mess of squirrels. Been a month or so ago, and brought them here and cleaned them and fixed some squirrel gravy, biscuits. Me and Lent, my wife, she said, I ain't eating them. They look like rats. Boy, I put that stuff, you know, sort of fried it a little bit, just seared it in the pan, made some homemade gravy and put all that in a crock pot. She come home from whatever she was doing that day, working, I guess, and this house was smelling right. She said, God, and I was sitting over there, boy, I was tearing it up. She said, boy, that smells awful good. I said, well, if you'd try it, you'd like it. It wasn't long. She was sucking it off the bones just like chicken wings. I said, here again, Nick, don't ever say you ain't going to do something because you might end up doing it.
That's right. Don't ever say you ain't going to do something.
But,
well, that squirrel, yeah, that's my favorite. I can tell you, that's what I've always said. That's, and I know listening to him talk, he had to eat squirrel probably about like I did. We do it right the reverse. We make, put it into crock pot and tenderize it, and then batter and fry it a little bit, and then make the gravy.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you can really ruin it. I mean, it's good about any way. Yeah, I've seen a recipe here a while back. They sort of smoked it. This guy done, he made it like chicken wings and then smoked it in a smoker, and I think I'm going to try that next go around.
I seen a thing the other day.
Yeah.
that a guy said he had tried to eat a grilled squirrel one time. And one, we killed some and tried to stick them on a stick and put them over a fire, skin them out, put them over a fire. You'd been better off chewing on a rock.
I tried to cook a squirrel one time in my life, and you can ask Mulkey. I tried to fry it at the house over there in Ball Ground when I lived there. We couldn't chew it.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
You got to tenderize it. And we do, but we do rabbit the same way. Put it in, not as long.
I boil my rabbit and then I fry it.
Yeah. Anything you do to tenderize it a little bit.
Yeah. One time I was, probably 16 or 18 years old. One of them, me and my running mates, we was around here and we went frog gigging, drinking beer, frog gigging. Being boys, and we decided to camp out after we done that frog gigging. We cleaned them frogs and we sort of grilled them out over the campfire. That's pretty rough to get scarfed down too. I got it done.
did you just eat the backs and the legs, or did you try to smoke the whole squirrel or whole frog?
Oh no, I cleaned that thing just like you'd be going to the restaurant and eating it. You know, them big old fat legs.
What's something y'all cooked that y'all just absolutely hated, game wise?
Bear meat.
Mine was duck meat. This boy brought some ground duck. We were gonna make hamburgers. Thank God we got some hot dogs in the cooler because it was awful.
You know, I've never. I tried to cook squirrel one time with Brady up at his grandma's house. We stayed up there and we tried to fry it. And got the grease too hot, first of all. We was like 16-year-old, about burned the house down. She wasn't living there. She's in the old folks' home. We commandeered her house, but it was bad. It was bad. We ended up throwing it away and going to Dollar General buying Rice Krispie and coming back and just eating cereal that night.
Yeah.
Bear meat. A guy gave me some bear chops one time, and I thought I was going to make me some fried bear chops. And it was grainy, and it tasted like burnt liver. That's the only way that I can describe it, is what it tastes like. Yeah. Now, I've eaten canned bear meat that was really good. I mean, it was, of course, I think you can anything, throw a beef bouillon cube in there. It tastes good, but for me, the bear meat
is
the
hardest thing.
Yeah, it does help. Yeah.
You eat a lot of bear, Swayze?
I've ate it a time or two. It ain't something that I'm interested in enough. I've got no desire to shoot a bear. I mean, I've had the opportunity. They just don't interest me, so, you know.
Me neither.
He ain't good enough, what I've tasted, to make me want to cut one up and drag him out of the woods. I mean, I've had to help dispose of a couple. My brother, he's killed a couple of them. He always seems to call me when one's on the run bleeding and it ain't quite dead yet. Well, he sort of calls me. I don't know. He must think I'm dumb enough. And I usually am. I'll be leading the way, you know, just get out of the way. We're going to get him. And yeah, the last one I had to help him kill. So we sort of wrestled that thing out of the woods. And it's about like, you know, I ain't saying I've ever drug a man out of the woods, but I figure it'd be about the same.
Yeah. But I've drugged three out and it's horrible. There's no good way to drag
three men,
three bear.
Oh, bear. You've told it,
but at one he shot and he bow kill him with a bow. You know, he shot that thing and it run out there and got to doing that death moan, and he recorded that and sent it to me. And I deleted that, and I said, don't you ever send me nothing else like that. Now, that hurt my feelings. I didn't like hearing that, you know. And that's what I tell a lot of people. I've killed a lot of stuff, but I've got remorse for everything still to this day. I mean, I've got a heart. You know, when you're taking something off this earth, I don't care what it is. I don't want to hear nothing like that. You know, I just, having a wounding deer and wounding stuff like that. And them, I've never liked that. Here's a good story for you. This and here get you going. When my daddy started me out, he was in the woods all the time. Cause you know, he was a bricklayer. And they didn't work a whole lot. when the weather was off. So, and he took full advantage of that. I should have been a bricklayer too, I think, but, he would drag me around. There's pictures of me in diapers, trout fishing. I mean, that's all I've ever known. And, the first time that he bought me a 410 shotgun, I guess I was in the second grade. He took me to the woods and he set me down, I guess it was a den tree or something there. I don't remember. And it wasn't long. He left. That's the way, you know, he didn't sit with me. He always let me he'd leave me there. I mean, I could probably blow my big toe off or something. I guess he'd have come back when he came back. I don't know. There's this old squirrel that come up this tree, and boy, I blowed him down. We was walking out of them woods, and I got to feeling awful bad about it. Come home at night. I went to my bed to go to bed, and boy, now this is his story. I was in there just a squalling to my mama that I'd killed something. And she finally, I guess, cried myself to sleep or whatever. And they laid down to go to bed, and he said, "That boy ain't never going to make no hunter. Anybody that cries over killing his first squirrel, he ain't never going to be a hunter." And then fast forward to when he was later in life and I was a grown man, he told that story, and he said, "I never been more wrong about anything in my life as I was that night." He said, "You've done things, and you've hunted." He said, "I never would have believed after what you laying in that bed crying over a squirrel, what you was going to turn into." And I said, "Yeah, you know, you created this, man. You made me." I was just like a little robot to him, except I wanted to be better. Everything that he ever showed me or taught me, or I wanted to be better than him. And I ain't saying I am or ain't. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Never say never.
Yeah. But it's been a heck of a thing, man. Some of my philosophies, if I never hunt again, turkey hunt, deer hunt, squirrel hunt, man, I could sit back and smile about it. I think I've done enough. You know, I'm satisfied with what I don't have to accomplish nothing else. I'm proud of everything I've ever done. Ain't always made the right decisions on how I done it, but you sort of get to the finish line one way or another. But I don't want to quit. Hope I ain't about to, but I could.
Sleazy, if you don't mind, your dad was obviously a big part of your life, and if anybody's watched some of the Penhody projects, they've saw some past episodes, and I don't know the year it was or what triggered you to do it, but can you speak on a little bit of talking about how you I guess kind of remember your dad throughout the United States?
Yeah, my daddy died 4 years ago today. Matter of fact, ain't that a coincidence? 4 years ago today. Yeah, after he passed away, that was a tough one. And somewhere, I'm not the original. I didn't come up with this idea. But somewhere along the line, I had read about somebody loading somebody's ashes into their shells. And it was about a pheasant. These two guys pheasant hunted. And I read this in a magazine article. Man, it's been years and years ago. I never really paid it no attention until my pop died. And he done had all his arrangements made up. And he was going to get, burned up, whatever you call that. And so when they cremated him and we got all that done, of course, I've been loading TSS. Oh, man. Long time I've been doing it. Long time I've been loading TSS. And so 4 years ago, when I got that box of ashes, I said, we'll try that. So I had my recipe that a man had taught me how to load TSS. Well, I just sort of, I think it required 15 grains of buffer in it. Well, I just sort of put 10 grains of buffer and 5 grains of my daddy in every one of them shells that year. And I loaded all mine, and then I loaded some for my brother and the grandkids, all his two boys and mine. And, yeah, so we all killed turkeys. And the first one that I ever killed, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, it's on Dave's video that I was in down there in Georgia, and we was hunting public land turkey, and that was the first trigger pull I'd shot with them ashes. It hit me pretty hard, boy. Now, but ever since then, every one of them, I'm still loading them every year, and I keep him in the safe here. I'll dig him out of the safe. We'll go in there and load us up how many ever shells I need, usually 2 or 3. And, yeah, I carry him everywhere I've been since. I wished he was still here. And then, you know, I also wished I could say that I'd done all this and shot all these turkeys in all these states, but I ain't. It's just the past 4 years worth have all been. So every time I pull a trigger, that's where, you know, he comes into the whole hub of the deal. Because, you know, my life, everything I did was to make him proud and to make him think I was doing something right. And so all the places that I would go, he was always first person I'd call. So now he's just sort of right there with me. And, well, I tell you what, my shooting improved a hell of a lot after I started doing that. I don't know if I was, it seemed like the shots meant a little more. So I focused a little more and was a little pickier. And yeah, I mean, be honest with you, if you want to go into that a little more. And I don't like to speak of missing or stuff like that, but I went 4 years without missing one. Last year was the first turkey I missed since I've been carrying him in the shells.
You reckon he was laughing a little bit at you from on high, maybe thinking about you missing.
He better not have been laughing, because that dude, he missed a shitload of them, boy. he'd shoot at them. He was shooting at that. When you call a turkey in for my daddy, it wasn't leaving without getting shot at. I don't care if it was 85 yards. If it folded that wing, that back feather, he's sending it downrange. His motto was, it don't take but one pellet.
That's right.
Oh, what was your dad's name, Sleazy?
J. Hugh Warlick. But everybody called him Hugo.
Hugo. Yeah.
J. Hugh Warlick. Yeah, he was something all right.
When you was a kid.
He's still around.
Well, when you was a kid, what's something that your dad did that always ticked you off that you might do today? Or is there anything that he done that used to make you mad that you might do with your kids today?
Oh, he wasn't much of a, I don't know, he wasn't much of a, he was sort of firm in a lot of things. And, I catch myself being that same way now. Right. I remember it used to make me mad, and I'd be like, God, man, he's a little bit tough. And now I got youngins, and I sort of catch myself, and then I'm like, yeah. I survived it. It made me what I am today. They're going to have to get through it too.
That's right.
Yeah. That's the way it is. They're going to have to survive it. It worked all right for me. My wife gets on to me about it. She's like, you too rough on them. I said, hey, that's the way I was raised. You know, we wasn't no bunny rabbits and flowers when you screwed up. You know, it was R-rated and usually consisted of leather. And my daddy talked to me like I was a grown man my whole life. To me, I guess to him, I wasn't. I mean, it was just another man.
He was shaping you into be a man like most of our fathers did.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just a different time for these kids now as opposed to what all of us, you know.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, Lacey, you've traveled around several states. Outside of your home state, what's your top three?
Just throw a dart at them, man. I don't know. About like Dave said, the next one.
Yeah.
You know, I like hunting. I'll tell you this. I'm an Eastern turkey hunter. I've been to Florida. I've been out west. I've been to Rio country. Man, I want to hunt Eastern turkeys. That's where it's always been for me. They gobble harder. They got attitude. Everything about them is bigger, badder. And to me, it ain't never going to change my opinion on that. Anywhere there's a good ridge with a gobbling turkey on it, you can look any of these Appalachian mountains. That's my pick.
Yeah.
Well, I got a question, because we all follow along with the Penhody Project, and we've seen you on there, and Dave and Drew and everybody, you know, and seen all these hunts. Do you have a specific hunt with those guys that sticks out in your mind, whether it was? I mean, just because it was a good hunt or it was a fun, because I have a hunt that sticks out with you in it that's one of my favorites. So I was curious if you had maybe not a favorite hunt, but just one that's like, that was a good time.
Oh, we've had everyone I've ever been with them guys. I mean, it's been a pleasure. Man, we've had some doozies. I don't know. Probably if I had to pick one, it was just off working. We was in Colorado one day, and we was all nervous about it. Didn't know nothing about it. They didn't nobody drop us no pins. Wasn't none of that BS going on. We just showed up. And, yeah, man, we messed around in there, and we killed three in one day. Three separate hunts, hours apart. Kill a turkey, shoot the bull, smoke a cigar. Couple hours later, couple miles, couple hours. Find a turkey, kill a turkey, smoke a cigar, take a break. Couple hours later, we did it three times that day. And, you know, at the end of that video, I remember, you know, Dave always does the cigar sessions. Well, there was three cigar sessions in that one video. And I remember, well, you know, I'm not a smoker. I smoke when I kill a turkey. I chewed tobacco for 25 years, and I finally quit that habit. And then, of course, I got to doing Dave. And, you know, that's the way we're going to do this. And so I fell right in there with them, and man, by the end of that day, I was about done with the cigar. I told them, I said, I've smoked up appetite today. That taste in my mouth. I needed some Bubblicious or something. I was done with them things. If we'd have had any more tags to fill that day, I don't know if I could have partook in any more cigars, but. Yeah, that one stands out to me. But what's yours? Well, what's the one that stands out to you?
So, y'all, it was you and Drew and Dave, and I don't remember which Western state it was, and I know you'll remember. I don't know if it was South Dakota or somewhere out there. And David got there, and he kind of gave up on y'all and went and go do some editing, and you and Drew went up there and ended up.
That's the B team, brother.
Brought in the B team, yeah. And, y'all killed one who was sitting there, cigar session, and then one gobbled off, and y'all went to scrambling and ended up killing that other one. That was a fun video to watch. That was.
Yeah, we didn't even have to light them cigars back. It was pretty much still lit by the time we whooped him.
Yeah.
That was something, my boy. That was something in there, boy.
Yeah, that was pretty wild to me. I don't know.
And the one was we left one hanging in the tree.
Yeah, the one was hanging in the tree. Yeah, while that was circled all the way around behind y'all, and then
is that when Dave went back the next day and shot that Jake?
I'm afraid so. Yeah.
Hey, that thing strutted all the way down to there, gobbled like crazy.
Yeah.
He's a little bit surprised on that one. Of course,
I think everybody was.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't, because I was facing the opposite way, so I didn't see nothing. All I know is there was one roosted right above my head, and I was watching it gobble. And it, you know, it didn't have a long beard. I know that. I said, when that gun went off, and you know, them turkeys out there, they ain't a heck of a lot of difference in them old gobbles. Mm-mm. And we got up there, and I remember I was sort of walking beside him, and I said, ain't much of a chest on that one either. I don't think he's going to weigh no 17 or 18 pounds. But, hey, we popped that tag and went back to town and bought some more.
Let me ask you this, Lizzie. Y'all went out there. You were part of the Tanner killing that albino turkey out there in Hawaii. What type of experience? I faintly remember the hunt. It's been so long ago, but
you need to go back and watch it, buddy.
I know. Was you filming or what happened? Because y'all were separated so much there. I can't remember.
Well, it was such horrible weather, and Dave has the camera in a Ziploc bag, and of course, me and Dave, we're older. I'm the old dog. And, of course, Tanner, he's a young man, and this was his last state. So, you know, he's gung ho. Well, there ain't no air to breathe on that volcano. And that's the toughest, everywhere I've been, that's the toughest terrain I've ever walked. And, man, he was just walking the dog on us. He was leaving us behind everywhere we went. I remember I looked at Dave, I said, man, I waited too long to come over here. And, so we got on this ridge or whatever you want to call it. And, there was a turkey gobbling down in front of us, and I was actually watching him. He was a couple hundred yards, and all of a sudden these things gobbled us right over our shoulder, and Tanner sort of crawled up through there because, you know, we wasn't going to hold back. We knowed what he needed to do. And if it gets on film, it gets on film. And that's always been the Penhody approach. And it's the approach. And it always will be. It's never going to change. And, but anyway, he spooked them. He boogered them up a little bit. And it starts really raining, so the camera's in the bag, and, you know, Tanner goes after him. Well, I'm sort of up listening, looking, and Dave, he's right there, and I see this white, and Dave had seen him. He had filmed him a couple, because Dave got there a couple days before us, and he had filmed the turkey, a solid white gobbler, and he never thought we was going to see it again. You know, we've all seen him. I mean, I've been around a couple of them in my life, and I ain't never got to kill one of them. But anyway, I said, and all of a sudden that thing come out, and it was with two other normal gobblers. And I was like, holy crap, Dave, that's that white one. And he's like, you kidding me? I said, uh-uh. Well, he gets the camera out. We ruined the camera, ruined that camera. That was the last of that camera. And, I watch the turkeys go up the hill, and then all of a sudden I see Tanner, and he's in coyote mode. And they go across a hill and break over. And I remember me and Dave said, boy, they just made a bad move, because we knowed that he was about to get up under that hill on them. And unless they get gone real quick off yon side, they in for it. And, you know, yeah, there was several hundred yards between us, and course, the gun went off, and it's one of my most memorable moments. Turkey hunting, all the stuff I've done, some of my most memorable stuff was with other people when they killed them. And, I that means as much to me that when he come across that hill carrying that turkey, I ain't gonna lie, I was emotional. I was half froze to death. And it was a high moment for me. It was everything that I needed out of a hunt. And I didn't even have to kill it to get that. So yeah, man, it was good. It was, yeah.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch it now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He had to cut out a lot of it cause I was crying. I ain't gonna tell you no lie. It just got to me. I don't know. It was a high emotion moment, and I was proud of Tanner because I've watched him. I've been with him for a long time, and then at that time, he was the youngest that guy to do it. And, oh, my God, they had talked me into flying to Hawaii. I'd never even been on I'd never been to an airport. And the first time I flew to Hawaii.
Wow.
Wow. You really popped it. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long flight.
I've always – I was scared to death. And,
Tell us about Hawaii real quick, because we really never asked Dave or a couple other guys that been there. Tell us, just what it looks like, what it's like being there.
Well, when you arrive, it's just like everything you've seen on TV. You just, palm trees and hula, whatever them necklaces is they wear, and mahalo, all this talk. And
they're lays.
Lays.
Of course. Yeah, whatever that's called. And then once you leave out of town and you start up that mountain, well, it's just like going into the Rocky Mountains somewhere. I mean, it's just the roughest roads. Everything about it is rough, rough. If you owned a personal vehicle down there, it wouldn't last long if you was up in there. Because I'm telling you it ain't no joke, man. Everything, you're going to tear your boots up. You're going to probably going to tear yourself up. I mean, falling is a constant because the ground's moving. The rocks are moving. You're 10,000 feet above sea level. If you're bald headed like me wearing a mesh back hat, your head is going to have a checkered board sunburned onto it. If the sun happens to come out for a little while, the turkeys are weird. It's pretty much normal business for me. I ain't seen one that I called in yet. I mean, I hunt turkeys however I hunt them. And if they want to play this way, I play their game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ain't no rule book to me.
Yeah. Oh, did you guys take oxygen with you up there? Or was you fine?
No, I mean,
I don't know how you got a baby when you need it.
No, we didn't carry none of that. I mean, I don't know, man. You walk like 40 or 50 yards and you have to stop and catch your breath, but it comes right back and then you're gone again. But yeah, we didn't take, we didn't do none of that stuff. Maybe we should have. I don't know.
Right.
I'm going to go back.
Oh, are you?
If I ever get the chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I ain't interested in doing when I get done with this thing, if I ever do, if I'm blessed enough to finish it, I don't ever plan on trying to do it again. Man. The only reason I'm finishing it is because I started it. I just ain't a quitter. And I don't want to get this. I mean, I thought about quitting several times, and because it's all about the turkeys to me. It's all about hunting the turkeys. I don't really care where it is. I never have. But once you get so far along, you get in it, you're 24, 25 states deep into it, and you're like, man, why not? Why not? But there's a handful of them out there that's left a bad taste in my mouth, and mainly the one that I'm on right now. It's a horrible thing. I think there's a lot of mistakes being made in the whole system out there, and it's just I don't like the way it's been. But it ain't my the one putting the picnic on. I'm just showing up there to get a plate and eat and move on. So.
Well, Sleazy, I hope.
Yeah, when it's all over, I just want to keep on. I'm always going to travel. Once you travel, you're always going to. But you know, I just want to go with people that I love hunting with, and go to places that I love hunting. It don't matter where it is. There ain't going to never be no more plan. It's just going to be like, okay, Dave, Drew, we going here. Yep, you want to go? Yep, Tanner, we going here. You know, Hunter, we going here. Just whatever, if the wind is blowing and he's a goblin, we're going to go there. That's just what I want to do.
I don't think of a better way to wind this one up than that one right there, Nick.
That's exactly right.
Oh.
Sleazy, I appreciate you sharing all that stuff today. I had a word I want to leave with everybody. I was listening this weekend to this. I forgot what it was I was listening to, but if y'all want to add anything to it, but it basically said, throughout your life, if you're not finding God, and I think you said this many times, Alex, if you're not finding putting God in front of it, it's probably gonna come out wrong, but if you're looking into something, if you're reading the Bible and you're doing it for yourself, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You got to find God in it, and I don't know why I felt like sharing that, but I did. So. And I think it kind of goes back to never saying never. And I was sitting here, I was trying to Google a Bible verse that it might be under, because I don't know the Bible front to back, but I think hopefully that's a good title for the episode, Never Say Never, because I think we can all attest to that. We've all said something in our life that we weren't going to do, and I think it all works out for us in the end, because we got one that knows better than us what we need.
No, yeah. Like I said, there again, it's already written down. The whole plan's already written down. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it, you know. He's got it planned out for us.
Sometimes we try to rewrite that plan and it doesn't work out for us.
Generally wind up sorely disappointed.
Yep, sorely disappointed. Yeah.
Usually does sore in my case.
Yeah, I've been sore a few times. I've tried to rewrite that thing.
Hey, Sleazy, you know you knew for a couple of weeks now that you was going to do this. Is there anything that you really wanted to talk about on here that maybe we haven't mentioned or anything like that?
Nah, I don't need to. Ain't nobody needs to hear none of my mumbo jumbo. If they want to figure it out, they'll link up with me and talk to me sometime. I'll run into them somewhere on the street or in the woods. You know, I ain't got a whole lot of nothing to say that somebody else ain't said a whole lot better and more professional than me.
Yeah, but I think
I
think the way that you tell your stories and the way that you talk, Sleazy, relates to so many people like us out there. You know, you come up. People, there's probably a small portion of the population of the world today that, when you really think about it, that could sit down and say, "Boy, I sure would like to have a big bait of squirrel gravy right now." And there's very few people that say it, and we might be a dying breed out there, but there's probably a lot more than we realize that still likes to eat stuff like that or talk like we do, or you know, it's reassuring.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's a whole pile of us out there. They're just in the shadows. You don't see them, just like there's a whole pile of turkey hunters out there that you ain't never heard or seen. You probably don't want to mess around with them. There's some bad dudes out there running around in these hills that nobody knows about, nobody ever going to know about.
The mountain men.
Yeah, I've ran across a few of them in my time. They know what's going on, I can tell you that. They didn't get it off no podcast or book either. They got it where they're supposed to get it from.
That's exactly right. That's the best knowledge learned.
Experience.
Experience. That's something you cannot listen to or cannot buy.
I did watch that one that Sleazy, I think when he shared it on Facebook, he said that one would have ended up R-rated if I'd have been in there. The one that Dave had to bite his tongue on over and over again, that turkey that whooped him the other day. You may not watch that one.
I haven't got that far yet.
Yeah, I I'm pretty cool cucumber when it comes to hunting. I don't get a whole lot of, you know, I'm in cruise control. I've done this so long. And usually you can ask my wife. My wife has seen the ugliest side of me. When it comes to getting a turkey and like he got that turkey and then you mess it up, you miss it, or that is usually the ugly side of me, whether it's me doing the screwing up or her. Yeah, she's man, I've been ashamed a few times of how rough I've scolded her on turkeys, but it's not that I just feel like I fail. I feel like I fail if they fail. So, oh man. Yeah. When I see the game come to a head and then you don't walk away victorious, because that's the only way I know to win. You know, saying, oh, I'll hunt him again tomorrow. Yeah, I mean, you get to hunt him again tomorrow. But I didn't come today to hunt him again tomorrow.
That might be the title of the show right there, Nick. I didn't come today to hunt him again tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. I didn't. If I'd have done that, I left the gun in the truck, you know. Okay, let's just go watch him today, but I'm going to hunt him tomorrow. No. And that's about everybody that hunts them, whether it's deer, turkey, squirrel. You know, we ain't out there just to. I watch them before the season. I'm watching them right now up here, you know. We're friends. We're buddies. I'm out here helping them all I can, you know, whatever it takes. But, boy, here in another month,
We ain't buddies.
I'm gonna
no
do
more.
Whatever I can do to get you. I'm gonna get my hands on you some way. Yeah. So, yeah, I appreciate you having me. I mean, man, I don't know. Y'all got anything y'all want to say to me?
I'll say this.
I got a great idea. Say, yeah, we ain't never doing this again. We ain't never having you on here again. You ain't worth a crap.
I'll say, for a man from Spokane, Washington, who's got an awful strong Southern accent, that's all I'm going to say.
Well, we sort of plant our roots. We move around a lot, you know.
Rent's about
that. Have y'all ever been to Spokane?
I have. Nick I flew has. In there once or twice.
I'll be flying in there this year.
Yeah. Did y'all go? I mean, I feel kind of bad, but did y'all go through that where all the tents and people live on the streets?
We don't have to do that. We live in Atlanta, Sleazy. We see that all the time.
Yeah. I'm going to be coming down through there in a couple of days. I got a couple extra sticks of dynamite for that place.
Yeah. If you need a place to stay, we know just coming through, we'd have just put you up in the studio. You could have stayed here with us for a night or two.
Yeah. I ain't got that much time off. Yeah, I'm going to get back down that way towards the end of the week. Go see if I can't carry the gun a little bit. I went down there with Tanner the other day. That wasn't my hunt. I'm bad with peer pressure. You know what I'm saying? Somebody called and said, hey, you want to go turkey hunting with me you want to drive 800 miles down here and hunt for 2 days, drive 800 miles back? Hell yeah. I'll see you there.
Oh, so you drove alone. You didn't ride with him.
Nah, he flew.
Dang.
Yeah, I drove her down. I got off work, drove down there, showed up. It was tough, though. I mean, he managed to get him one, but yeah. So I couldn't hunt, you know.
Daggone.
So
that's a pull, son.
But that, you know, I love it that much. I don't have to carry that gun. I've carried that gun enough in 30 years. Here again. If I seen him kill that turkey, ain't nobody else I'd rather see shoot one than that boy. I mean, He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Good dude.
How old are you, Sleazy?
I told you I was 19 years old. I've done a lot. Nah. I'm 43.
Okay, so you're right there close to us. We in our late 30s. And
excuse you. Well, yeah. We're the same exact age.
Well, Underwood over here, he's over here sitting there like a bullfrog when I said that, ready to croak on me. Oh, well, I can tell you one thing. In the 43 years, it's awful nice to hear folks with common knowledge and common interest in life and the way of living and slowing it down a little bit. And, you know, you said at the beginning you might talk a little slower than others and we might have to speed this thing up. But I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't want it to go no faster than it did because an hour and a half sure has flew by listening to these stories. And I can promise you the next time, hopefully it's 2.5 or 3.5 hours and they're sitting around a campfire or something with you one of these days.
Yeah, we can make it happen. And if we ever do another one of these things, and maybe we will, maybe we won't. But if that comes to that point, I got a lot of stories to tell.
Save them stories up and come down here and spend a weekend with us. What you need to do.
Hell, it ain't that far off. I come down. I tell you what, I might do that when you get them little. At them little youngsters down there again. I'll come mess around with them little whippersnappers.
Oh, you talking about Slim and Hunter and Isaac?
Hunter and Isaac and Slim.
Yeah.
How far are you from them boys?
Yeah, 44 hours.
He ain't giving all his secrets away.
I'm done. Don't say nothing else. That's it right there. He 44 hours and a smile away. Sleazy, I'm gonna wish you a happy season. I hope it has an amazing run for you. I hope y'all kill every bird you come across. But I hope at least one whips you so I can hear a good story from you in the end. That's all I'm going to say at that. So, Nick.
Man, I appreciate you having me. And same to y'all, you know. Get out there and hunt them, man. Have a good time hunting them. Don't do nothing I wouldn't do. Do it. Man, just do it honorably is what I'll say. You know, don't make a fool out of yourself. I mean, I've done plenty of that, so just do better. Everybody needs to just try to do a little better towards the next man. That's right. Unless they don't deserve better.
Sleazy, man, I really do appreciate you coming on here and doing this, and I know it was a long time spinning up, and hopefully your career goes further and further in this podcast, because ain't no telling who's going to reach out to you now.
I doubt it.
Oh, hey, you have a safe season, man, and keep in touch with me, and I know you will.
All right, boys. Hey, I appreciate it, and y'all holler. I'll holler at you.
All right, bye. Appreciate it. Be good.
See y'all. Bye.
Well, Nick, you spun it up just right, and as you told me, you was getting ready to do this one. I think about 2 years ago when you ran into him at NWTF, and you said that exact thing that we opened the show with about doing one with him, and I had no idea who he was until I really met him this year in NWTF, and he did. He tickled me with what you said. I didn't even hear him say it, and he said, "Old Jack," he said, "I met your daddy last night," and yep. I was like, yep, he met a good one in that. So.
Yeah, it was he's always good. He's always good around there, and we didn't, you know, we talked about Ben Hody, and I didn't want to make it all about that because I wanted Sleazy to tell his story. But he goes right along with the rest of the guys as they're all sitting around up there and they talk to all these people that come by. He's the same. He's never different. Yep. None of those guys are. But
he's very proud to be a part of the Ben Hody Project. Proud. And as he said, he is Dave's biggest fan. And I'll tell you this, and I was sitting here thinking about this. It's awful reassuring in life to have friends that support you in everything you do. I think that's one of the biggest joys of life is having people that, you know, I know Dave, if he listens to that, will hear him say that and he'll hear him and it'll give him a, you know, a smile on his face. And when your friends support you in what you're doing, it's a real blessing. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that I can say that all of us here, we tend to keep each other boasted up and we jab at each other and give each other a hard time just like they do. But at the end of the day, we want to see the other be successful. And so,
yeah. And he Sleazy does, I mean, the rest of them do too. But, and again, cause we had him on here, he represents that brand very well.
Yes.
And he, he respects the turkey and everything that they do. And I really like, I don't know why. I mean, he obviously had a great relationship with his father, but mm-hmm. I enjoy that. I enjoy hearing stuff like that, like the part of carrying his dad around in his memory like that with those shells. That's just something special.
Well, at the end of the week, this episode drops out. We gonna be hammering on them for the ones that's going with the youth. we gonna be running right into them, and it's gonna be a fun season. I'll tell you, I was counting up today, and best I could figure, we got about 9 or 10 different states between the team we're gonna hit this year for turkey. So it ought to be pretty much a wide open series. We hope you make sure you listen or you keep an eye on the Chasing Weekends page for what's going on over there. And there's a lot of people still don't know what Chasing Weekends is. Chasing Weekends is our YouTube page. Go over there, hit the subscribe button. A lot of y'all that listen to the show, y'all are already following along with it. But do us a favor and share that thing with your friends, because that page is growing. As Cody's built and said before, we're built on the new Instagram page. And that is something that we're trying to grow as an opportunity for us to share more of what we're doing. Talk about it, outdoors ain't going nowhere and it ain't slowing down, and it's been a blessing and a privilege. But for what we've got lined up and what we're learning in this whole video game, y'all gonna really like the next phase of what Chasing Weekends is fixing to bring to the table, and I can't wait to see what it all does.
I learned something from that video last night that dropped, and I need to get better about it. I gotta pull my dadgum mask down when I'm talking. Because a lot of people, when I'm trying to whisper.
Really? You jumped me when we was down there with KT. Pull your mask down, Jack. I was trying to talk to you with my mask on. That's exactly what you did to me.
Well, I couldn't hear you over there, but I'm saying, because most people are trying to read your lips while you're talking on there. So, yeah, pull your mask down this spring. Bless, he's coming.
Yo, pull your mask back up. Oh. Any final, as this episode gets ready to drop out, any final advice for anybody that's getting ready to spend season up here in Georgia with the youth?
Oh, man, just let those kids have fun out there. Don't go out there and try to pressure them on a turkey, try to pressure them into something what they want to do, and let them go out there and have fun and let them make mistakes, you know, because that's the only way they're going to learn.
Yeah, I like it. Boys, been a pleasure.
Has been.
As always. I don't know if anything else I got to say.
I ain't got nothing.
Hide your gate keys. I've got my Yelp figured out.
Uh-oh.
I've been over at Nick's Help the Yelp project.
We started that Help the Yelp over at 2023. Get your subscription.
I wasn't going to say this on here, Nick, but you know what? He said you've got hell coming on you and all this. You'll never win another state competition again. You'll never win another open if he's with you. So,
how much is that class, that Help the Yelp class? How much do you charge for
It's
that?
Expensive.
It starts off, we got three different tiers.
Yeah.
So the
he's
first
on
one,
tier three.
The first one's $29.99.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it goes up from there. He's on the $109.99. He just ain't got the bill yet. So
he's going to pay every entry fee you've got. Keep an eye on the, if you're interested in going to a calling competition, maybe a first one for you, June the 1st in Blairsville, Georgia, there'll be a calling contest going on up there. So it would be a very good one if you've ever wanted to go and see one. Or if you wanted to go and compete in one, they'll have several different divisions of calling and different tiers that you can go up and call on. So it would be something fun for people that wanted to go and experience that. So we appreciate everyone that came by and saw us this weekend at the meal and
yep.
visited with us and got stuff from us. And keep in mind that the fundraiser that we've got going on for Miss McKenzie, we've still got it going on. It'll be running for the next few months. Better stay tuned. There's going to be some really cool stuff.
I got one more plug. Yeah, go over and check out our boys' meeting too.
Yep, yep.
They give us a shout out every week on their podcast. Y'all go over and check them out as well.
I tell you, I'm really excited to see where that podcast goes for them. They're doing a splendid job. 5 episodes in, and it's getting better every week. They had Eddie Salter on. That was a good episode. I listened to it on the way home today. And for those boys, as much as they've supported us, we'll support them in anything that they do. And he mentioned earlier all the boys, Slim Reaper boys, they just dropped out another awesome episode.
Very awesome.
Where Dwayne and Isaac went in there, smacked one in the mouth. How about, wait a minute, How about that RP Scritchfield video? We didn't even mention that.
Yeah.
What about RP's video?
That was a great video.
It was awesome.
Me and you did talk about it last week a little bit, but that was a great episode. Good video. So
I had to hit him up after that.
One more plug for me. Very soon, potentially this week, so be looking out for it. We're getting new stuff in. The website's getting a whole new makeover. It's going to be a lot of new stuff that everybody's been wanting and ain't been able to get their hands on. So watch for that. We'll drop it everywhere.
Hats, shirts, koozies, stickers,
mouth calls, the whole nine, everything.
My last plug is I appreciate you setting me up. I'm going on my first podcast.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night. Yeah.
Really?
Which one is that?
Rich Hunter.
Yeah.
Yep. He's going up to speak with Canyon.
I'm actually nervous.
Are you?
Yeah.
Canyon.
Oh, I've never been on one.
Well, yes, you have. We did that one with Ricky.
Well, we did on this back in the day.
Yeah. You'll like talking with Canyon, and I think he's probably the first one I did with him. He was like, I got to get Nick on and talk turkeys. And so for you to be able to get on there and go, I mean, just do like a, he looks a lot like me, where if we favor a lot of each other. So
is that, pretend like you're did talking we meet
to him? Me. He did. He's the one that came down to the barn or to the house that night.
He said he wants to talk calling and stuff. So I don't know where to go, but yeah, it'll be out.
Give him.
It's their little Friday.
Just call the whole time.
It's their, what do they call it? Their Friday. They call it something. They drop an episode out every Friday. It's like 30 minutes long. So I don't know what they call it.
Yours will go longer than 30 minutes. He gets you spun up.
8:30 tomorrow. Have full belly after leaving Willie O's. I don't know.
I know. I got to miss that. I'm the low country bull. I got to miss. I got to go to the great state of Charleston or South Carolina. It is a state about itself. So I got to get up 4 o'clock and leave, boys. Yep. Spin it up. Y'all come back and see us again. If you need anything, holler at us. We appreciate all the support everyone's given us thus far. And we hope you enjoyed this one with Eric Sleazy Warlick. Going to be a great friend for a long time for Talk About It Outdoors. Y'all check him out. For everyone here, we want to remind you to smile as you go, but don't forget, mount the memories. Building the foundation of your life starts at the base, and the stronger it is, the better. Talk About It Outdoors is proud of our strong partnership with United Concrete and Paving and the foundation of support they provide. Whether your new home being built needs concrete work or that driveway you're tired of beating all the bearings from your pickup needs a paving, Michael and his team can provide any residential or commercial project support you might need from the ground up. If you're tired of tripping over that unsettled patio slab or a future shop build needs a smooth start, United Concrete and Paving can get you going when you need it most. Give them a call at 404-831-3036 and make sure you tell them them TAI boys are where you heard it first. A few years back, when an overbearing and overgrown backyard became an eyesore, I looked for a solution to resolve. LRS Land Services created a stunning and complete transformation turnkey at an affordable price with their mulching services. Not limited to mulching, LRS can provide turnkey grading and clearing, maintenance, right-of-way clearing, and even development for any and all forestry needs. With an innovative outlook on what is best for your land and a completely different approach than others, LRS can transform your overgrown eyesore into a beautiful landscape of your dreams. Give them a call at 404-889-1105 or check their work out on Facebook at LRS Land Services. Logan and his team are ready to make your land brand new again. Are you in need of a decluttering barn or garage slap full of stuff you just don't need? Or is your construction site needing a dumpster? Give our buddy Tony at Georgia Junk and Dumpster Rental a call. With services ranging from junk removal to roll-offs, Georgia Junk is here to help with any and all removal needs. If it's time to get that parking spot back or the boat needs a place inside, Tony and his team can surely assist. Servicing Cherokee, Cobb, Bartow, and surrounding counties, give them a call at 404-406-3501 or check them out on Facebook at Georgia Junk. Clean up the yard in short order with Georgia Junk.